the system needs to support the uniqueness of the entrepreneur rather than you trying to feel like, oh, today I have to post my story and then tomorrow's tips and then Thursday's a client testimonial, right? It's what do you want to share? What message do you have that you really need to share with your audience today? What are you passionate about? What are you trying to achieve? What's your goal? What's your mission?
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Unlocked Show. I'm your host, Tracy Wilson. My pleasure to be here with you guys today on this bright and sunny Wednesday morning here on the Gold Coast of Australia. Today, you're in for a little bit of a treat because I've got the amazing Andrew Ryder with me today, and we're going to be talking all things content creation and, in particular, how to write amazing emails that actually create, excitement with your reader. That reader actually wants to not just read the very first line or the subject line, they actually are drawn into the story that has been created that actually drags them through, drags, probably not a fantastic word, but takes them through that story and gets them to the point where they want to absorb it, they want to hear more, and they are looking forward to hearing each and every story that you tell with your emails every single day. And I know this for a fact because I have had the pleasure of reading some of Andrew's awesome emails, as have my team. And it was my team members that said, Trace, you've got to have Andrew on the show. We've been reading his emails and they are awesome. We look forward to reading them every single day. So if you too would like to be able to create emails that have that kind of impact on people, then today's show is absolutely for you, because this man here, Andrew, is going to be spilling the beans and pulling back the curtain on how do we actually reimagine our content so that it creates that sitting on the edge of your seat waiting for the next email to come. So I want to say a huge big welcome to Andrew. Welcome to the Unlocked Show. Great to have you here.
Yeah, thank you so much, Tracy. That's a great introduction. I'm excited to be here. And, I feel like we have a lot of contrast going on here because it's so bright over there where you are. And I'm in Seattle on the west coast of the US. And we have had the darkest, just stormiest, rainiest winter that would never end. And today is actually one of the first nice days of the year. But you can see I have unintentionally, the mood here is very dark.
Well, I'm going to let them in on a little bit of a secret. We had a little bit of a giggle before we jumped on the show because Andrew jumped on and he had this lovely dark shirt on. He was like, oh, my God, I'm sitting in the dark. And I'm like, well, one of the little tricks of, going live on video is, if you wear a light colored top, it tends to help bring a bit of brightness to your face. So he went and did this really quick switcheroony, put on a fantastic lighter colored shirt, and now we can see him brilliantly. So anyway, that being said, we digress a little bit as we do. No doubt, I'm sure he'll pick that little story up and it'll end up being in one of his emails someday soon. Because the man has a way of being able to take an instance and turn it into a really creative story. So tell us, how did you even get into this, Andrew? Because it's a lot of people talk about particularly email marketing as being old school. It's dead. Nobody's opening emails. So firstly, how did you get into this? And why do you continue to feel so passionate about this medium of communication?
So I sort of stumbled into it accidentally. I started into entrepreneurship by reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which is a great book, but it sort of took me down the path of get rich quick schemes and how to make money online. And a lot of the more sleazy type of scammy types of products where you're not really trying to help someone. You're just trying to sell whatever junk that you can find on the internet, make a sale, right? Make some money, scale it up, and I could go retire to somewhere nice and sunny like where you are. And right. But it didn't work out well for me. My heart wasn't in it. And I just felt like the dishonesty of what I was doing, and I knew the products weren't good. That dishonesty and trying to sell something that I knew wasn't good really, really wore me out. And it wasn't until my wife started her business. She's a nutritional therapy practitioner. So she does a lot of health related stuff. And I started by helping her write content for her Instagram and some email content, just telling stories, and really found a passion there. I really enjoyed it. And I just always noticed all of these things, I guess you could say. Maybe they were stories, maybe they were just observations, but just little things here and there as I was reading about entrepreneurship, or I was looking at my social media accounts. You know, I would say, oh, that's really interesting, and it connects to this other idea. And I had all these ideas, and I knew that I was having ideas, but it took a couple of years probably before I even did anything about it. I had all these ideas, and I was like, oh, what do I do about that? You know, somebody needs to talk about these ideas, but it never occurred to me that maybe I was the one who was supposed to talk about the ideas, right? And so in 2020, I made a commitment that I was going to start sharing these ideas, and I was going to share the framework that I use for coming up with these ideas, how I write, how I create content, and just the things that I see going on in online business space, a lot of the mistakes that I made, a lot of the lessons that I learned the hard way. And so those are the types of things that I try to share. And you know, it's interesting, when I started in 2020, I knew that a lot of the entrepreneurs who I looked up to would publish every single day. They would write an email 7 days a week, or 5 or 6 days a week, right? They would post on Facebook or wherever their primary channel was, they would do that every day. And so I made the commitment to do that too. I thought, you know, if I'm going to take this really seriously, if I'm going to really go all in on this, I need to do it every day. And that was really scary for me, because I didn't have enough ideas to get me through the next 7 days. I couldn't get through the first week, and I was already committing to hundreds of content ideas. But, you know, I started out and I got 5 or 6 the first week, and another 6 the next week. And by the end of the year, I was able to do about 330 emails that I wrote. And it was really interesting, because I thought that at the end of that, I would learn, I would become a better writer. Maybe, you know, I'd write 300 some pieces of content. But what I didn't realize is all the different sort of nonlinear effects of doing that, being consistent with it every day. I was able to create a couple of different ebooks just by pulling together and sort of curating all the content that I was creating, tying together those different ideas into common threads, a lot of blog posts. I created so much additional content just out of that daily habit. And that tends to be, you know, if you want to improve your content creation skills, that's the place where I like to start, is how often are you doing it? You know, if you think about professional basketball players, or, you know, anyone who does anything professionally, they're doing it every day.
Absolutely. And what's interesting about this is that, you know, if I think back to, you know, my career and starting out in this marketing space, and the one thing that my mentor at the time said is, you must publish. Like, just find a platform that you're able to share your message, share your experiences, your daily life, like, just to start really engaging and communicating with other people. And it's funny, and the platform that I chose is a live show format. And interestingly enough, even though we have very different, what I would call anchor platforms, the concept and the theory behind it is exactly the same. And like you, starting out in this space, is like, okay, you know, you've got to treat this like you're serious about it. You've got to show up, and you've got to do it every single, you know, for me, it's twice a week, and it's got to be lock solid in your diary as part of the habits and the routine that you do on a regular basis. So for you, that's daily, like doing, waking up every day and knowing that today, in my daily you know, move abouts, I'm going to have some time where I'm going to be creating content, whether that happens each and every day with you, right? And we'll get to this, because we'll uncover and unpackage, you know, how you go about this, whether you batch it or whether you do them every single day. But the fact is that you're publishing, or you're sending and communicating with your audience on the daily. One of the interesting things that I've you know, we've talked about it, and I read this in some of your material, is often, particularly when we're starting out in this entrepreneurship, or we're thinking about, okay, I'm going to step into the realm of content creation. The first thing, almost the default that most people go to is, all right, I'm going to go and try and find somebody who's got some templates, some swipe files, something that I can model or copy. And what you're saying is actually that whole process that we've been taught to do that is actually backwards. Is actually, you know, not serving us well, when we actually think that's the very first thing we should do is that, because it's going to serve us well. It's actually the complete opposite. Do you want to talk a little bit more about that and why you say that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it's important to say that it depends a little bit on where you're at in your journey. If you're just starting a business and you don't really know how to write, or you don't feel like you have the skills that you need in order to communicate your message, you may want to start with templates and with ideas and some of those types of things, because that's how you learn things. We all learn things through mimicking first. So if you think about when you were a baby, you looked at your parents and they were having a conversation, right? They were making noise with their mouths and you said, I want to do that too. And you start making noises and eventually you learn to talk. Same with crawling and then walking and then running, right? Is you learn by seeing what other people are doing and then trying to do it yourself. And it's especially true with writing or with communicating via video, right? It's going to be how you set up your studio, and it's going to be the types of cuts you use or the types of editing that you use. But with writing, when you're building out that style and you're finding the way that you like to communicate, you're going to want to read other people who are good writers and try to model some of the things that they do into your own writing, knowing that you're modeling them, knowing that you're using their style, their system, but you want to quickly turn it into your own. You don't want to copy things blatantly. You don't want to steal other people's headlines, but you can use their style and the sort of the elements that they use in their writing to improve your own writing. So that's, I think, a place where that type of mindset is applicable, is when you're developing those skills or trying to improve those skills. But where it gets really difficult, and I see this on Instagram, for example, sometimes if I'm looking at someone's content, I can tell what courses they've taken because I can tell what templates they're using and what, you know, it sounds like someone else. And that's, you know, that's a problem. If your content sounds like someone else, obviously you take the time to build your own style, right? You learn the skills, you develop your own voice through writing or through video or however you like to communicate. Once you develop your own style, that becomes an asset that you have. It becomes something that's unique to you. And this is something that Steve Jobs really keyed in on. There's this old ad from the 90s where he was advertising. I'm not actually sure what Apple product he was advertising, but just kind of a general Apple advertisement. It's famous because he talks about the rebels and the misfits and sort of the entrepreneurs and the people who think differently. And one of the things that he explains in that ad is he talks about round pegs and square holes, right? And obviously round pegs don't fit in square holes. Only square pegs fit in square holes. And I think this has happened accidentally, but a lot of the content systems and frameworks and templates and a lot of the tactics that you see online are designed to try to put round pegs into square holes. They're designed so that you need to change the shape of the entrepreneur. You need to change, you know, sand off the edges. You need to be this dimension and you need to fit these specifications in order to be able to use this system. It doesn't give you the liberty with your own uniqueness and your own point of view to go out there and share a message that is something that you're passionate about, something that's unique and really highlights the difference that you bring to your market. And so I like to think about it, you know, exactly the opposite. The system needs to support the uniqueness of the entrepreneur, rather than you trying to feel like, oh, today I have to post my story and then tomorrow's tips and then Thursday's a client testimonial, right? It's what do you want to share? What message do you have that you really need to share with your audience today? What are you passionate about? What are you trying to achieve? What's your goal? What's your mission?
And I suppose, you know, coming back from that is really understanding, like, who is the audience that you want to serve? Once we understand who they are and understand our own unique greatness, our, you know, the thing that makes us different, our inner genius, and kind of melding those two together, then you've got a lovely marriage of the two happening, as you do with the types of emails that you create. I do recall reading one of your emails, and I think this is what you're talking about here is, you know, when we're starting out, and yes, there's, you know, there is a place for utilizing, headline swipe files and templates and the like. When we're starting out and we're trying to find our own way and get going, that gives us, you know, a level of comfort that we can fit into somebody else's regime to get us going. And then over time, we get to find our own pattern, our own rhythm, our own way of doing things, and we start to infuse that within it. And I recall reading one of your emails, which was talking about the difference between tactics and skills. And I think that story really does highlight that in a nutshell. We start out with, you know, using other people's templates. It's a tactic. We've gone and we've found those, and we're going to use them as a tactical way of getting us started. And then over time, as you get better and better and better at it, you have started sharpening that sword, and now you've got some skills, and you now start to use those skills to be able to infuse your greatness. So let's talk a little bit more about, see, I have read some stuff. Let's talk a little bit more about that concept of kind of tactics versus strategy and some of the tactics that you would recommend people use, and then maybe even how they translate them in the quickest time possible into a skill set.
So I think it helps to start this conversation with sort of how I came across this, because there's this dichotomy in online business or any business for that matter of tactics and strategy, right? And you'll have people saying, you know, here's all the tactics and here's all the things you need to be able to boost your response, get more open rates, whatever it might be. And then there's folks on the other side of the debate that are saying, no, you know, you need to have a good strategy. You need to know yourself, know your audience, have a plan for how you're going to get leads, convert them to customers. What are you going to sell them on the back end? Right. But that didn't really work for me. There was something that was missing from that conversation, because I didn't feel like tactics and strategy was all that there was. There was something else that successful entrepreneurs were doing that didn't fit into either of those camps. And as you've alluded to, you know, I've called it skill. Mm. When you think about, say, a tactic, like how to write a good headline for an email or a social media post, something that's going to get curiosity, it might be a bullet point in a sales letter. There are tactics that can be used to increase the engagement, to increase curiosity, to add some teasing elements or some contrast, right? All of these things that you can do tactically to improve that bullet point or that headline so that whoever's reading will continue to read. But there's also a skill that's involved with being able to craft those bullets, to be able to write the headline, to be able to take a look at all of the information that, you know, all the market research you have, the current events that are going on, be really in the same headspace with your audience, and to know what words to say without having to rely on a specific swipe file or someone else's words to start from. And that's, you know, it's really the point of that distinction is not to say that tactics are bad or that tactics don't matter or that they can't be useful, because they absolutely can. But it's to shift the starting point from tactics over to skill, and to start by building that skill, building that intuition. And so this is where a lot of entrepreneurs will say, oh, you need a mentor, right? Mentors will teach you the skill because they can look at what you're doing. They can look at the content you're creating and they can say, oh, well, why did you do this here? Why did you do that? Why don't you do something like this? Or why don't you add this or subtract that? Mm-hmm. And it helps you build your own intuition so that you don't need that mentorship anymore. It helps you become proficient at a skill so you can do it on your own. And and I felt like, you know, that is a completely separate discussion from strategy, which is mandatory. Every business needs to have a strategy. Even if you're buying a business in a box, you need a strategy. Oftentimes that's what you're buying is the strategy with a business in a box, but you have to have strategy. And so I wanted to be able to differentiate between skill and tactics because a lot of people go down this the wrong way and they think that they're getting better at something by just collecting tactics. They have their headline swipe files and they have their funnel templates and they have all of these different things that they've collected and lead magnets. And I did this for years where I just go around Facebook and just sign up for people's lead magnets on whatever, you know, ads they were running or free stuff and just collecting all these things. And I was learning, right? I wasn't actually learning anything, but that's what you tell yourself. And I was listening to all, you know, hundreds of podcasts every week, just absorbing all of this information, but I wasn't actually doing anything with it. And that's where the skill comes in. You have to practice. You have to actually go out there and write the emails. You can't just collect all the headlines and then you'll write good emails. No, you've got to write 1,000 emails and really develop the skill in order to be able to do it consistently.
That's right. It's one thing to be able to talk about it. It's another thing to actually be able to go and do it, right? And it's like a muscle. You know, if you don't use that on the regular, well, your muscles are not going to grow. You're not going to get stronger. So being, and you might feel as though you're starting out and, oh God, it's not quite right. It's not perfect. But as you get, as you were saying, you know, if you looked back at your very first email and compared that to your 365th email, there's probably a massive contrast in the skill level that you had built up over that period of time. So let's kind of go down the path now of, like, I know that there's a framework that you use. And, you know, initially you were saying, gosh, I made a commitment to do, you know, to just, I'm going to do this. I'm going to start writing to my audience on the regular. And in fact, I'm going to do it every single day. I mean, that in itself is like, you know, stake in the ground. I'm going to commit to something really big because it's now you've got to do it every single day. And in the early stages, we're like, okay, I've got 6 ideas. That's pretty cool. I can do this. And you get to kind of day number 7 and like, ooh, now, what am I going to come up with? Now, as I've been reading your emails, what's really interesting about your emails is I'm going to say that you can create something very relevant to an audience, let's say almost out of nothing, like out of a pothole down the road. Like, and some of you guys who are listening right now wondering, what the heck is Tracy on about? What I would say to you, as Andrew has said, you know, you want to go and I would do some study, like sign up to his list and study the way in which he does it, because it's actually really, really, I want to say classy in the way in which you've created them. So how did you progress from, okay, I'm going to come up with these 6 topic ideas, and then you've came up with so many content ideas that you just didn't even have, you don't even these days have more content ideas than you have time to write, even though you're writing every day.
So there's a couple of different things that I think will be useful here, but to start out with idea generation, because that's where everything gets going, right? There's nothing better than to just sit down and you've got 20 ideas and you can write about whatever you want. You can go in any direction and you just pick whatever's inspiring you. Okay. So idea generation needs to be separate from writing and from editing. It's a completely different thing. So I never sit down at my computer and I never look at a blank Word doc and look at that blinking cursor. Never. I never start from a blank screen because it's really demoralizing and you can easily spend 45 minutes there with nothing, no ideas coming to you. And it's a difficult thing to just say, okay, have an idea, and nothing happens, right? So I've found that this really helps eliminate writer's block and some of those sort of dark places we go to when it's been a hard day, you're struggling, you didn't get anything out yesterday, you feel like you need to do it today, but you don't have any ideas. And then you start to convince yourself that you're not any good at this, you're not like so-and-so. And so we're just trying to avoid all that altogether. Exactly. Yeah. And I've been down that road plenty of times. So I do all my idea generation separately. And the easiest way to do this is to take 5 or 10 minutes at the end of your day and just think back through everything that you did that day and ask yourself the question, can this be used? Can I use this story in a piece of content? Can I tell this story in a way that's going to be valuable to my audience? And we will come back and we'll talk about how to make that connection, as you mentioned, between a random story or seemingly out of nothing into a valuable lesson. We will come back to that, but I'm just asking that question. And it's, you know, I went to the gym. What happened at the gym? What happened on the drive to the gym? What happened on the drive home? Did I have any conversations? Did I see anything on TV? Because they've got tons of stuff on TV at the gym. Or maybe it's a conversation I had via email or something I saw on TV, just wherever in my life. Could be, a lot of times I get ideas from just observing my pets. They tend to do funny things sometimes, and that can be a good story. So I did this when I was starting out, as I would take 10 or 15 minutes at the end of the day. And it's a really good way to just close out your day and just put everything away nicely, organize it in your mind, and also get, you know, 1, 2, 3 ideas. And really, you only have to get one idea per day. Some days you can get 2, some days you can get 3, some days you can get 5. Then gives you a little permission to take some time off or miss a day or whatever. But you just have to get in the habit of doing that every day. And then you'll just start to see them sort of on demand. We were, you know, over the weekend, we were watching, this was actually the email I sent this morning, but over the weekend we were watching, we were just on Netflix. I don't even remember what we ended up watching, but we were looking around and I saw a movie that I really, really liked. And I thought, you know, why haven't I written an email about this movie? And, cause I really, really enjoyed the movie. So anyways, I took the note down. I just have a note on my phone. And as soon as I have an idea, I write it down in my phone, because I can't tell you how many unforgettable ideas I have forgotten because I didn't write them down.
Yeah.
It's funny how that works, but you got to write them down. So I wrote it down and then wrote about it this morning. But that's how I generate ideas, is I just look at things that are happening in my life, that are happening in other media that I'm consuming, and things that I see online, things that I see other people struggling with. Sometimes it's good to just talk about pain points, talk about problems, talk about things I'm struggling with, talk about things that my audience is struggling with.
I mean, and that's just a great, I'm going to say, a tactic to use, right? And then as you use that tactic, you're exercising that muscle and turning that tactic into an actual skill. Because like you said, before long, it's like, oh, I'm seeing these opportunities everywhere. Just like if I were to say, hey, let's go and see if we can find some purple cars on the road. And gosh, I'm probably going to see a whole bunch of them going across the bridge that I can see out my window right now. You know, because when you start looking for those things, it becomes the muscle exercises and it starts looking for more of them. So they'll come easier and easier to you. What's interesting again, and I'm going to go back to, you know, the emails that I read that come from you, because what's interesting about those, even if we use that concept of, I watched a Netflix show, and most people would start out an email saying, hey, Tracy, or hi, Tracy, over the weekend, I was watching a Netflix show and da 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 da. Your emails never start like that. So I want you to, I'm sure that you've got some skill that you can impart with us that enables you to write these emails in such a way that doesn't necessarily have to tell the story from the beginning with every little nitty gritty detail?
So there's a couple of things here that I do. One of which I learned from Ben Settle, who is a legendary email marketer. And he doesn't start his emails with a hello or a hey, how are you? He just gets right into it. And the logic behind that is that you want to be familiar. You want to treat your emails or any communication with your audience like you're talking to a friend or someone you know well. And this process of hello, so-and-so, or putting their name in the subject line of the email, you know, that was cool when it first came out like 15 years ago or 20 years ago. But everyone knows that it's an email broadcast. And so you're not really fooling anyone, or you're not adding a whole bunch of intrigue by adding their name. There was, I think, in the Boron Letters, which is a great book by Gary Halbert. It's a copywriting book. Mm-hmm. He's one of the greatest copywriters, if not the best copywriter of all time. And in this book, he talks about the first time he was able to put someone's name on the letterhead of a direct mail piece. He was in the direct mail days, and that just bumped the response by an insane amount, because it was the first time anyone got a personal letter addressed to them that was a sales letter. And that is a tactical approach. It's different now. And when I think about when I'm communicating with my friends, if I'm sending a text message, I don't say, hey, Nick, or hey, Jared, how's it going? What are you up to? Hope you're doing well. I just say, hey, do you want to go hang out? You know, or it's like very brief, it's straight to the point, and we just dive right in. So that was a reason for leaving off the salutation, and just let's just jump right in. We know each other, we're acquainted. I'm not using a tactic to try to get your attention. And let's just jump right into the story. The other piece to it is, as much as I can, I try to, so when you're telling a story, and you'll notice this often in a lot of movies and books and good, engaging content, is that the story doesn't start at the very beginning. It doesn't start with the hero and their struggles and their pouting, because that's boring. Now, you don't really want to see that stuff. It's part of the hero's journey, but you don't want to start there. Usually you start in some kind of action sequence. You know, if I think about Star Wars, for example, all of the Star Wars movies start in some kind of space battle. Right? Or there's something going on. There's some action going on. There's conflict happening. And that pulls you into the story. And then once you're engaged, then once you're interested or invested in some of the characters, or you're at least paying attention, thinking, I want to know what happens next. Then you can go back and fill in some of those details and expand on the characters or give the backstory that you need to give in order to make the picture complete. Mm-hmm. So, a lot of times I will just start out and say, hey, I was watching this movie on Netflix and here's what happened. But I try to get into the action as quickly as possible, because I don't want to waste people's time. And I also don't want to bore people. That's one of the only bad thing that you can do. Maybe not the only bad thing, but that is the worst thing that you can do, is be boring.
It's interesting that you should say that, because actually, as I was sort of preparing for today's show and thinking about some of the quotes and things that are around content, and often you were saying, you've got to get right into it, because people's our attention span is very, very short these days, and we're being bombarded with a whole lot of information on the regular, and often we're fighting to interrupt people. And you would have heard, some people may have even heard of this term, interruption marketing, right? You see that on your news feed as you're scrolling through even the likes of Facebook to grab people's attention. And I loved this little quote when I saw it, is stop interrupting what people are interested in. and start becoming the people, being what people are interested in. So being vastly different. So you've actually got to be that person that people are wanting to stop, wanting to listen, wanting to read what you're talking about, instead of interrupting them all the time when they're actually trying to, you know, trying to consume what they're in, that what they're interested in.
That's so good. I love that. Yeah, it's that's so true. And this is something that I found in sort of observing my own habits with the media that I consume, was that when I check my email inbox, I don't look at the subject lines. So even if someone has the best subject line out there, I'm not really looking at that. I'm looking at the from line, which is who is sending me this content, because I know what types of content different people are sending, and I have look at and check off these five because I know they don't send me anything valuable. I delete those and I should probably unsubscribe, but I haven't yet. And then there's a handful that I save for later because they're longer form content. I may want to take some notes on it. And then there's some that are short and they're easy to read, and I can just look at it here or there as I have time. So when I'm in my inbox, when I'm on social media, I'm looking at who is creating the content. And oftentimes I'll get halfway through an email and I think to myself, I didn't even look at the subject line. You know, I'm following this person because I want to become a better marketer. I want to dissect how they're tying their subject lines back into the body copy. You know, I want to develop that skill. I want to read good writing. But I didn't even look at the subject line. I just jumped right in, got tied into the story. And next thing I know, I'm realizing I didn't even do what I was supposed to do with the email. The subject line didn't do anything for me. So that's not to say you shouldn't have good subject lines. You absolutely should do everything you can to make your content more interesting, more engaging, more to get people to click on it. Anything honest, I should say. You shouldn't do dishonest things to get people to look at your content. But that helps me reframe the task. Like you said, don't interrupt people. Just be interesting, right?
Yeah.
Be the thing that people are so busy consuming that they don't want to be interrupted with whatever nonsense is out there that people are trying to interrupt them with. And that's what you want to do. You want to build a relationship with the person who's reading your emails to the point where they see it or they see you and they say, oh, an email from Andrew. I'm excited to read that email today, right? That's the goal. You don't want to try to interrupt them with a flashy subject line. You want to build a relationship with that person.
What's interesting about this particular topic of like subject lines, what I found fascinating here is that, you know, most people would ask the question, well, what kind of subject line and how do I create one of those that, you know, increases the click rate? But the fact that you're like, I actually want to know who is this from? Like what? And to that point, it's not just who is it from, because as you know who the content is coming from. It's not necessarily the person that I'm kind of reading between the lines here. It's the type of content you've come to expect from that person. So when I'm thinking about this now, it's like, okay, if I'm going to be creating some form of, you know, like with the Unlock Show, for example, people know what to expect when they come here. They know that I'm going to have world-class guests on a Wednesday. I'm going to be talking about all things show-related, podcast-related, online marketing, product creation and or authoring of books. Those are the sorts of things you can expect here. They also know that the style of show host that I am, pretty relaxed, you know, hopefully, you know, I'm upbeat, you know, all of those things are what you can expect when you come here. The same would apply in an email format, right? You get to know and understand, well, what's the flavor of what I'm going to expect from Tracy or from Andrew when she lands in my email inbox. And then maybe the subject line, as you say, you might look at that a little bit later and go, oh, I wonder what she actually made as the subject line, but more from again, sharpening your skill and from an observation point of view than, hey, that was the thing that made me open it. In saying that, though, that often comes after a while of that relationship and the trust being built. Because now, you know, as you know, if I'm landing in your inbox for the first time, then maybe the subject line is the thing that has to grab my attention. So how do you do that? And how do you become, like, in the early stages, how do you become that person who is not just an interrupter, but is the kind of person that people are actually interested in, and they are hanging on the edge of their seats waiting for the time to tick over till Andrew sends me another email?
Yeah, I think it really comes down to it's a totally different approach from what a lot of people are trying to do in online business, which is trying to get transactions. And it's a focus on the relationship. So you can gimmick people into transactions pretty reliably with psychology and with good copy, right? But you can't consistently trick them into downloading new things or buying new things if it's not good. And if you're neglecting that relationship. So I think if you take that approach, you say, okay, I'm going to approach this as a long-term relationship. How do I go about doing that? You got to be creating content as frequently as possible. This is why I mail every day, because I want that consistency in people knowing to expect something from me every day. And I say every day, I usually don't write on Sundays. So it ends up being 6 days a week, but 6 days a week, 7 days a week, whatever you want to do. Like you said, for video, you're doing twice a week. Whatever you commit to, you have to be consistent with that. There's this idea that I really like from a marketer and a businessman who I get a lot of value from, named Troy Broussard. And he has this idea of inconsistent consistency. And it's the idea that you need to show up in their inbox every single day, but they're going to have no idea what to expect as far as the story or the direction that you're going to go. And so you're reliable, you're dependable, you're consistent, and they can count on you, which are all huge, huge factors in that person's ability to trust you, right? The trust is the foundation of that relationship. With anyone, really. This could apply to a romantic relationship or a friendship or someone in your, you know, a customer or a prospect. You have to have trust with them. So you're being consistent by showing up every day, but you're not being so consistent that every day is the same thing and you're not predictable in that sense. Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of inconsistency in that one day it's a Netflix show, the next day it's a really short, just tactical email, and the day after that it's in a completely different direction. So you're still providing valuable information, but it's almost like a surprise. It's like, oh, I'm excited to see
some form of spontaneity to it, right? Like, you know, it's not so predictable that it becomes boring when you've got spontaneity in the mix. You know, it becomes, you know, it's like adding spice to your food. It creates the next level of experience. So I think that's, you know, that's really interesting way to look at it. So from the perspective of knowing and understanding what kind of content I could expect from Andrew, he's going to be sending, you know, me something every single day. I can expect that it's going to be valuable. I can expect that it's going to, you know, improve, you know, whatever skill, tactic or strategy he shares with me, and the story he shares with me on that day, it's going to be relatable, that I can actually do something with it. So all of those things are very consistent and have a level of you know, I'm going to say a brand awareness around them, and then you overlay to that spontaneity. I'm not really sure, you know, as a reader, I'm not really sure what he's going to send me, but what I do know is it's going to be good. It's going to be interesting enough that it's going to make me want to read it.
Yeah, that's exactly what you want to do, and it's not something that I really pay that much attention to. Most of my content has a very, I would say, very consistent sound to it. It's my voice. It's very similar in that regard. Where it differs is every once in a while, I'll sort of throw in a left turn or something that's a little bit unexpected. I try to avoid going back to a Netflix show 2, 3, 4 days in a row, try to get some variety into the stories. But really, that's where the variety is coming from, is in the story that I'm telling.
Absolutely. Now, I know you talk about there's a real underestimated aspect of this, and I've read it in some of your material. And what, when you say, you know, there's an underestimated aspect, what are you referring to here?
So I think what you're alluding to is this idea of the moral of the story. And you know, there's a lot of storytelling experts that will tell you that you have to tell good stories, right? That's sort of the thing these days, is, oh, tell great stories and people will want to be more like you. They'll love your content. And that's partly true. But what I found is that I'm not consistently going to fancy beaches. I'm not driving a fancy car. I don't have all these larger than life experiences that make for all of these fantastic stories that we see getting millions of views on YouTube or on any social platform. So I needed a way to turn an average story into an above average or an impactful lesson, turn something from everyday life into content that's going to be, is really going to change the way my audience thinks about the problems they're solving. And that's really what I'm trying to do, is to reframe the problems in a way that makes more sense, a way that seems solvable. So the way I do that is with the moral of the story. And it's like all those old nursery rhymes or Disney movies where they'd tell the story and they'd get close to the end and then they'd say, the moral of the story is, and then they'd fill it in, right? And it was very obvious in those types of stories. But as we grew up and learned to sort of internalize these things on our own, they dropped the whole, let me tell you what I'm going to tell you piece, and they just throw the moral in there, right? And I noticed this watching a couple of Ryan Reynolds movies, one of which is called Free Guy, which is this story about a video game character. And he's a what's called a non-player character. So he is in the game, but he really exists in the game just to make it more fun for the players. And so everyone who's playing this game is, you know, he can be robbed or he can be beat up or whatever. He's part of the software in the game that makes it more fun for the player. He doesn't get to do anything that he wants to do. He doesn't get to achieve anything with his life. And what he learns is that actually he can become a player. He can train and he can level up and do these things to take that next step in his life, take control. And that moral of that story is really impactful, because there's so many people that just feel stuck, whether it's in a job or it's some kind of situation or something that's got them stuck in life, where they feel like they're trapped and they feel like the game is just beating them up. They're down and they don't know how to, they just can't get to the next level. But we want to have hope. We want to believe that there is a shot, that we can level up, that we can become better. We can become that version of ourselves that is good, that is, you know, better than we are today. Be better tomorrow than you are today. And so that's super impactful, awesome, just moral of the story. I love that. And that's what makes the movie powerful. It's what makes it interesting, and it's what makes it resonate with the viewers. But then when you look at a movie like Six Underground, for example, which is another Ryan Reynolds movie, I didn't really like it. It was kind of just explosions and fancy cars and all of the material type things that you see getting a lot of views on social media. But there wasn't really a moral to the story. There was no impact. That movie didn't move me in any way. It didn't impact me. And like I said, you know, I'm trying to reframe problems. I'm trying to create impact. I'm trying to help my audience change the way that they think about what they're doing. And that's where all of that impact comes from, is in the moral of the story. And I think that too is sort of what you're talking about earlier on in the show, where you're saying, you know, pulling ideas out of thin air or turning something completely unrelated to business into a business lesson. The moral of the story gives you the freedom to turn pretty much anything into a business lesson as long as you have the imagination to pull it off.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, and that is an absolute skill that you have obviously, you know, you have sharpened that skill over a number of years to get to a point where you're able to do that. And a couple of the things that came up for me as you're talking through this, you know, finding the moral of the story. It's like that transition. So for example, I mentioned that in one of the emails that Andrew, and he probably won't even remember this, because for somebody who writes, you know, every single day, I'm pulling out various different components of different emails that I've read from him. So I would be super impressed if he remembers which ones they actually are. But there was one I mentioned a little bit earlier, and it was talking about potholes. And, you know, when it was interesting, and he definitely has a way of being able to pull you through the story and then get that punchline or the moral of the story that switches what I would call adjust your beliefs to think in a different way and make the connection between what he's talking about to, oh my gosh, yes, you're right. That is a lesson. Aha, that's how I can apply that to my, you know, to my life, to my business, to my family, whatever the case may be. You know, in that manner. And the question that I think we need to be asking ourselves is, with the moral, is it's like, so what? So why does that even matter? What's the point of telling that particular story? And if you can get to the crux of the, and you can answer for yourself, the so what, the why does this even matter, you know, conversation for yourself, then that's going to matter to the audience that you are sending that to. The other thing that I think was important that I'm hearing from, and we haven't talked about it so much, but I'm hearing it from you today, is infusing some level of emotion into your emails and into the stories that you tell. Because I think if you can increase the level of emotion that somebody has, and like you, and that Ryan Reynolds stories that you were just telling about, you know, the two different movies that you watched, I would say that that those two would have been the level of emotional pull that they had on you. It's like, I can relate to that. Yeah, I get where he's coming from. And the other one, yeah, not so much.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. It's, you know, if you look at a lot of famous or controversial figures in society, they get an emotional response. It's either 99% positive or it's 99% negative. But getting that emotional response is what gets engagement. Whether it's negative engagement or positive engagement, you know, I personally try to stick to the positive engagement. Mm-hmm. I try to stick to, you know, building that relationship, building up positive emotions and a good attitude. But there are folks who make a living or grow their businesses, grow their brands with a lot of negative content. And mm-hmm. I think it comes back to really understanding yourself, understanding who you are and who you're trying to help and what you're trying to accomplish. I'm sure there's a place for negative, sort of a negative emotion. There definitely is. And I've used it before in certain cases, but there's also, for me, I just try to stick to the positive because I've got to sit down and write this email every single day, and I've got to enjoy it. I've got to have fun doing it. Otherwise, it's going to be boring. Everyone's going to be able to tell that I didn't do a good job. I'm not enjoying it. I'm boring. So try to keep it fun. Try to keep it positive, and try to tell those stories in a way that creates that sense of aha, that aha moment where you realize how the story applies to your life, to your business, and mm-hmm. you get that click in your head that then you know how to go out and make a change in your life for the better.
Mm-hmm. One of the other things that, before we wrap up today's show, because I think this is often a misconception, is that, people think that, okay, I'm going to go down this path of, content creation, and it's purely for the purposes of every single time I've got to sell something. And one of the things that I think was really important of what Andrew has spoken about today was that our intention of adding value. And often when you see, the emails that come from Andrew, they're not selling anything. They are simply for the purposes of, I want to add value to my audience. I want to make their day brighter. I want them to have a better future. And that lends itself to what you were just saying, that, the angle that I like to take is on the positive side. I like people to be able to see that there is building hope, that there is possibility and opportunity for them. And sometimes it just takes one little, shift in a belief or a looking at something from a different perspective that can make all the difference.
I think I should definitely be putting more calls to action in my content. I don't do it enough. And there's a whole debate on this, right? When do you put calls mm-hmm. to action? You don't want to be too salesy. You don't want to be inauthentic. You don't want to constantly be shilling your stuff. Those types of concerns tend to come from people who are selling bad products. Mm. When I mentioned at the very beginning, I was selling, drop shipping stuff from Alibaba or wherever I could find all these weird things that, a lot of the kids are doing these days, and they're bad products. And I was ashamed to sell them. And I was just trying to make money. And that's where those questions tend to come from. Or if you're sort of insecure about selling your products because you're not sure how good it is. And especially in the beginning, you don't have a lot of validation. You don't have a ton of people just begging for your products and wanting to buy from you. So it's difficult to feel that out. But what I will say about, let's assume that you've built a product that you love. You've put your heart and soul into it. It's the best that you could do. You should be selling it as often as you can. And it doesn't have to be sleazy. It doesn't have to be salesy. It doesn't have to be pushy. It's really just an invitation for them to take the next step with you. And the way I like to think about this is, if you were to fall and break your arm and go to the hospital, you would be pretty disappointed if they told you they were closed and they were only giving away free information on that day, because you'd want them to fix your arm, right? You want to solve that problem that you have. And that's a helpful way to reframe the way you're thinking about selling your programs, because you're putting a cast on someone's broken arm. Even better if you can give them just a little shot of something that's going to make it go away just like that, right? But you're solving their problem. And if it's a good program, if you're proud of it, if you've put your heart and soul into it, you should be giving people the opportunity to at least check it out, see if it could be a good fit for them, ask you a question about it, take the next step. With all this emotion you're building in the relationship and with the passion and the energy that you're putting into your content, you need to then direct it somewhere. It's like, okay, great. Now you understand how to fix this or why you need to fix this particular thing. But how are you going to do that? What's the next step? Well, go and take a look at this book that I pulled together, or this course that I run, or my coaching program, and here's the things you're going to get, and send them on to the website.
And I couldn't agree with you more. It's interesting, isn't it? Because often, like you look at your emails and you say, well, maybe I need to put more, calls to action in there. Like you say, if you've got something that you've poured your heart and soul into and you know it's really good and it can help your audience, it can help somebody else out there. It's interesting because I tell this to my students all the time, hey, Andrew, for example, you've got something that's flaming amazing. We need to offer that to people because there are people out there sitting, waiting in pain with whatever their said problem is, waiting for your solution. And if you're sitting on it and you're not sharing that with them, are you truly doing them a service at that point in time? The answer would be no. You have to make the offer. If you can open the doors and make the offer to someone, then it's up to them. They can choose whether or not they want to take the next step with you. And I love that. That concept, but also, you know, the way in which you go about things, which is to lead with value, is to share your information openly and then have an open invitation. So to that note, guys, I want to make sure that before we do, round out today's show, that we give you an opportunity to hear and have more of a relationship with Andrew, should you so wish to. So I'm going to pop up on the screen right now the website that you can go to. So is www.andrewbryder.com. You can head on over there to Andrew B for, I'm going to say Brian Ryder. .com and then you'll be able to engage with him, like sign up to some of his newsletters, see to his email list and see what he's got to say. And I think you'll find that there are some real gems within the information that he shares with you. And if you decide that you want to go and work with him, then you're going to continue, you'll build on that relationship and you'll reach out to him and have more of a conversation about how you guys can make that work. Andrew, is there anything else before we do round out today's show? Is there any pieces of advice or anything that you think, gosh, if there's one thing that I've missed or that I want to share with the audience today, it would be this?
I think it's easy to get overwhelmed in that you think there's so many things that you have to do. So rather than saying a new thing, I kind of want to bring it back to where we started in that You have to be consistent, whether it's twice a week or it's six times a week or it's every day or it's once a week, whatever you commit to doing, you've got to just get out there and do it, because that's how the skills are built. That's how the intuition is built. And that's where all the results come from. That's where the relationship comes from. And you don't have to master it overnight. You certainly won't. You know, I'm terribly embarrassed by the content that I wrote a year ago. And sometimes I look at the content from last week or last month and I'm like, wow, I could have written this so much better. So it's a journey. We're all on it and we're all getting better every day, just being consistent. And I think you'll find that will be the one thing. If that's the only thing that you can do, is to just write something every day, that's where 90% of the results are going to come from with your email marketing, with your content creation, with the morals of the story, and with everything we talked about.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for being an amazing guest on The Unlock Show today. Guys, as you know, with every episode of The Unlock Show, we always have an action that we need to take away. So the action from today, as you've just heard from Andrew, it starts with consistency. So if I was to choose something out of today's episode that I think everybody could take away and they could do, and starting today, would be that concept of at the end of every evening or whatever time of the day, you're going to sit back, you're going to take a moment to reflect on what's gone on in that day and just get yourself, you know, whether it's three or five instances of things that you could have, that you could write about, that you've experienced in that day, do that, because that's where your inspiration and the motivation to keep going is going to come from. Those ideas are the first step in the process, and we want to get you over that very first hurdle. So if you can do that, that's going to help you to start writing each and every day. Then, of course, you can come back and revisit the show and just think about some of the other strategies, tactics, and skills that Andrew has shared with you today, and start layering them on top of that content or the idea. Ideation sort of phase as you continue to move forward, and go and sign up to his to his daily emails and just watch what he's doing so that you eventually can model it and you might decide you want to work with him too.
Yeah, absolutely. That's where I would start too, with the just getting more ideas, because it's so much easier to write when you have ideas written down already. When you sit down, you can just jump right into it. And in addition to just getting the daily emails, if you sign up for my newsletter, I've got a training that goes into some of the things that we talked about on the show, but some other things that we didn't talk about that will give you sort of a holistic approach from front to back on my content creation process. So that's for free if you sign up.
Beautiful. Well, there you go, guys. Well, thank you so much for being an amazing guest. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in today. If you're listening on the podcast, make sure that you subscribe, whether it's on the podcast or on YouTube. Subscribe. Make sure that you never miss a beat. You don't miss any episodes of The Unlock Show. As you know, Wednesdays, we have amazing guests with us on Wednesdays. And on Fridays, I often do a solo show where I'll be sharing more tips, tools, strategies, skills with you to be able to, you know, help you live your life unlocked and unlock some secrets to be able to create an amazing online show, create all of your content from that, and then also create your online program, and then potentially even go as far as taking that skills, that knowledge, and that information and turning it into a book of your very own. All right, guys, so that being said, I want to say thanks very much, and I'm going to see you guys again this Friday, 10 a.m. Brisbane time. Go and live your life unlocked, because as you know, there is just no other way. Thanks, guys, and bye for now.